إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to continue with our discussion of the matters related to al-Iman from the book of Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di rahimahullah, Al-Tawdih wal-Bayan li Shajarat al-Iman, the clarification and elucidation of the tree of faith. And in the previous few lectures and this evening, we have been discussing the last section of his book, which he has entitled the Fawaid, or the benefits of Iman, وثمراته, and the fruits and benefits of Iman. And previously we have discussed in some detail of the fruits of Iman is achieving or earning or being under the wilaya or guardianship of Allah, earning the rida or the pleasure of Allah, the fact that al-Iman, al-Kamil, the complete or perfect Iman, prevents one from entering the fire, and even imperfect Iman prevents one from remaining eternally in the fire, and that Allah would defend the believers, and that Iman and good deeds, the good deeds which are a branch, a shu'ub of Iman, they produce the good life, al-hayat al-tayyibah, in this world and in the next, and that every word and every deed of a person will only be considered correct or complete in accordance with the Iman or the ikhlas that is in that person's heart. And the last point that we have discussed is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides the one who has Iman to as-sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path. Yani he makes them firm, he guides their heart to be patient at the time of trial and tribulation, and he guides them in generally in their affairs, in their speech and in their actions, in their life in this world and in the next due to their Iman. This evening we would like to discuss a few points under this section of the benefits and fruits of Iman. The first of those points, as the Imam, Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di rahimahullah mentioned, وَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْ ثَمَرَاتِ الْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ يُصَلِّي صَاحِبَهُ عَنَ الْمَصَاعِبِ وَالْمَكَارِهِ الَّتِي كُلُّ أَحَدٍ عُرْضَةٌ لَهَا فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ. Yani if it were not that the fruits of Iman were no more than this point, that it is through Iman that the person who has been afflicted with some affliction or misfortune or calamity, it is through Iman that that person is consoled. It is through Iman that that person is comforted and caused to forget about that loss which has come upon them, the affliction that has afflicted them, the misfortune that has befallen them. It is through Iman that a person is consoled and comforted, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to forget about that difficulty or hardship or calamity that has befallen them. The Shaykh says, if this was the only fruit of Iman, it would be sufficient for one to strive for Iman, to strive and struggle to achieve that Iman which brings about this result. Yani the Iman that whoever has it, when an affliction befalls them, when calamity befalls them, they are comforted and they are consoled and they are not grieved and troubled. They don't think about committing suicide. They don't think about giving up life. Because they have something to replace whatever they have lost. The greatest thing that replaces everything, and it is al-Iman. So the Shaykh says that if this were the only fruit of Iman, it would be sufficient. The fact that the one who is afflicted by calamity is consoled by Iman. Those calamities which everyone is subjected to at all times. Everyone is subject to it. No one knows when any calamity or misfortune may befall them. Everyone, every human being is subject to it, and it is only Iman that can give them comfort at that time. Therefore the Shaykh says, the one who accompanies himself or keeps as his company al-Iman and al-Yaqeen, certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is the greatest of the means of comfort and consolation from afflictions and calamities. And it is the greatest thing that minimize or make easy the difficulty when that affliction befalls someone. And this is due to the strength and the greatness of one's Iman, and the strength of their tawakkul, or their reliance upon Allah, and the strength of their hope for the reward of their Lord, and their desire for His bounty, which He has offered. Yani, it is due to the fact that a person's Iman is strong, and that their tawakkul, their reliance and dependence and trust in Allah is strong. And it is due to the fact that they have a great hope, they have a great hope in achieving the reward of their Lord and earning His bounties. It is due to this that the loss that they have suffered is reduced, or even yani, it is nullified. Because they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for them, and that if they are patient with whatever affliction befalls them, then Allah would reward them and He would give them of His bounties and His favors. Therefore the Shaykh says, based on this, there is a rule, a qa'idah, halawatul ajri tukhaffifu mararatis sabri. Halawatul ajr, the sweetness of the reward, to khaffifu hararatus sabr, yani it reduces and minimizes the bitterness of the hardship that one is required to be patient with. Yani patience at the time of affliction, it is difficult, it is not easy. However, the harara the bitterness of trying to bear that affliction with patience, it is reduced by the sweetness of the reward that one expects and hopes for if they are patient at the time of affliction. So the Shaykh says this is a rule. Halawatul ajri, the reward, the sweetness of the reward that one hopes for from Allah, to khaffifu mararatis sabri, it reduces the bitterness of the hardship of being patient at the time of affliction. And he used as a proof for this point or this rule the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 104, إِن تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. Yani the beginning of this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the believers, do not be weak in pursuing the enemy. وَلَا تَهِنُوا فِي ابْتِغَاءِ الْقَوْمِ. The Shaykh doesn't mention this part of the ayat, but it is yani important to mention it so that the ayat is clear to us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't be weak in pursuing the enemy. Don't feel that you are less than them, or that they are greater than you, that you cannot handle them. فَإِن تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ, because if you are suffering some hardship or pain in battle or in war, if you suffer some wounds or death, فَإِن تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ, if you are suffering pain, فَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ, they are also suffering pain as you are suffering pain. They are not suffering any less. They are human like you are human. So if you are suffering, they are also suffering. So why should you feel like you are less than them? Why should you become weak? When you know that you are suffering, know also that they are suffering. So you are equal in this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. But the difference between you and them is that you have hope from Allah for something that they have no hope of. You have hope of Allah's reward and His bounty and His favor and His Jannah, because you are of the believers. So for this reason, it is not expected that the believers should be weak when they know that those who are opposed to them are suffering just as they are suffering. And when they know that if they achieve their goal, or if they don't achieve, if they win or if they don't win, indeed they have hope for something that the others have no hope of. The Shaykh, he says, for this reason, you find that two people who are afflicted with the same affliction, the same calamity, or that which is similar, afflicted with a similar calamity, one of them has iman, and the other is without iman. So you find a great difference between the condition of the two and the effect of that calamity, outwardly and inwardly. You see a big difference in the one who is afflicted who has iman, because his iman consoles him and comforts him, and he has hope for some reward if he is patient. And the one who has no iman, he has no hope for anything, and he has no consolation and no comfort. So there is a difference between the two. He said that this great difference, it goes back to, and it is based upon and due to al-iman. It is due to al-iman. And it is due to the actions that are required or necessitated by iman. Yani the one who has iman and who acts in accordance with what iman requires of him, then that one, he will be protected from the hurt and the harm of the calamity or the affliction that befalls him. Then the Shaykh says, and likewise, just as one is comforted, the believer is comforted at the time when some affliction befalls him, or something distasteful, some hardship or suffering he is subjected to, just as he is comforted at that time, in the same way he is also comforted at the time of the loss of a loved one. Yani when another person suffers, dies or is sick from someone who is loved by him, also he is comforted at this time. For indeed, when the believer loses a loved one, one who the love of that person is deep in that person's heart, and who they have a great love for, whether it is from their family or their children or their wealth or their friend or whatever is similar to that, then this person is comforted by the halawatu imanihi. Yani the sweetness of his iman comforts him, because he has something to turn back to. It is his hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his reward. Indeed, al-iman, best replacement, compensation. It is the best compensation or replacement for the believer from whatever he has lost. And this is something that is witnessed, and it is something that is experienced by many. Then the Shaykh says that the loss of a loved one, in reality, it is counted from amongst al-masa'ib, afflictions or calamities. Yani the loss of a loved one, it is also a calamity. So in both ways, whether it is affliction that befalls one personally, or it befalls someone that is loved to you, all of it is considered as a calamity. All of it comes under the title of calamity or affliction or misfortune. The Shaykh, this is what he said here concerning this point. But before going on to the rest of the point, and it is worth mentioning what he has said in the tafsir of this ayah under discussion in his tafsir. His tafsir, Taysir al-Kareem al-Rahman fi tafsir kalam al-Mannan, al-Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, he says under this verse, وَلَا تَهِنُوا فِي ابْتِغَاءِ الْقَوْمِ. Don't be weak in pursuit of the enemy. He said, don't be weak and don't be lazy in pursuing your enemy from amongst the disbelievers. That is in jihad, or in the one who is standing post on the boundaries of the Muslim lands to protect the Muslim lands from the enemies. For if somebody's heart became weak, then this would be a cause of weakness of their body. If the person loses heart, then also their body will become weak. And this will make them weak in resisting the enemy. But on the contrary, don't be weak. On the contrary, you should be strong, and you should be active in opposing and resisting and fighting against your enemy. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh says, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those things which strengthen the heart of the believers. And he mentioned two things. And here he discussed in detail the two points of this ayah that is mentioned by the Shaykh, in takunu ta'lamuna فَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That if you are suffering some hardship or pain, know that also they are likewise suffering similar hardships and pain. That is the first point. وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. And you have hope from Allah, that which they have no hope for. That is the second point. He said the first of these two things that are the factors of strengthening the heart, it is that what has afflicted you of pain or suffering or hardship or the wounds that you have suffered in war and that which is similar to it, then indeed your enemies have also been afflicted to that which is similar to it. So it is not yani from the sense of honor and manliness, nor is it from the courageousness that is expected in Islam, that you should be more weak than them, while you and them are equal in that which causes weakness. That which will make you weak, also it will make them weak. As you have suffered, they have also suffered. So why should you be more weak than them? Indeed, that which is expected, that which is customary, is that a person will not be weak except the one who has suffered pain after pain after pain and who has been overcome consistently by the enemy. Then that one is expected to become weak, not the one who has had a victory and a loss, who has taken turns in victory and loss. There is no reason for that one to be weaker than the enemy. The second factor that is a strengthener for the heart, it is that you have hope from Allah for that which they have no hope for. You have hope of achieving the thawab of Allah, the reward of Allah. And you have hope of being saved from the iqab of Allah, the punishment of Allah. You have hope of that. They don't have any hope of Allah's reward, and they have no hope of being saved from His punishment. Indeed, they will not receive Allah's reward, and definitely they will be punished. So you have hope of gaining Allah's reward, and you have hope of being saved from His punishment. Not only that, but the special ones from amongst the believers, those who have earned a high place and close nearness to Allah, they have goals and objectives which are very high, noble, lofty objectives, which are more high than the common believers. They have the hope that they have, which the disbelievers don't have. He said it is hope of the success and the victory of the deen of Allah. Yeah, and the special ones from amongst the believers, they are not just expecting to win a war, but they are hoping for the success and the victory of the deen of Allah. And that is a lofty, noble objective and goal that is of the goals of the true believers. Likewise, they have as a goal or an objective the establishment of the law of Allah in the earth. And when they are fighting, they are not just hoping to get the spoils of war, that they will win and not be killed, but they are hoping to establish the Sharia of Allah in the earth. That is something to fight for. That a person will not become weak if this is their objective. That their objective is to achieve something that is lofty. It is the establishment of the Sharia of Allah. And it is the expanding of the circle of Islam. Islam will expand and encompass more people so that people will come under the deen of Allah and have the reward of Allah and be saved from the punishment of Allah. And likewise, from the lofty goals of the near believers, it is the guidance of those who are stray, those who are lost. And they also hope in the battle, in winning the battle, they hope to open the way to guide those people who are lost and who are astray. And they also have as their goal the subduing or the restraining of the enemies of the deen of Allah. So these things, they necessitate for the mu'min, the musaddiq, the true believer, that they have increase in their strength, that their activeness is multiplied and increased, and that their courageousness be completed and perfected. Because indeed the one who fights and is patient on the battlefield in order to achieve worldly honor, the disbelievers are fighting for worldly honor. The one who is fighting and who is patient on the battlefield to achieve worldly honor, even if he achieves it, is not like the one who is fighting to achieve the happiness of this world and the next. The one who is fighting to achieve the pleasure of Allah and His Jannah. فَسُبْحَانَ مَنْ فَاوَتَ بَيْنَ الْعِبَادِ. He said that Subhana, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is yani free from imperfections. He is the perfect one. He is the one who has made a distinction between His slaves. He has made a distinction based on his knowledge and based on his wisdom. Yani a distinction between those who believe and those who disbelieve. Those who fight from amongst the disbelievers for something of the world, and those who fight for the reward and pleasure of Allah. For this reason, he said in the end of this ayah, فَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has perfect knowledge and perfect wisdom. Yani this distinction between those who have iman and those who do not have iman, those who hope for the reward of Allah and those who have no hope for the reward of Allah, it is based on Allah's perfect knowledge and His perfect wisdom. Then the Shaykh mentions two examples of the one who has had a great loss. A loss that could destroy someone. However, it is because of their iman. It is because of the strength of their iman and their hope in Allah and the hope for His reward that they were able to be patient and to hold on patiently until Allah opened the way for them. The first example he gave is the example of Ya'qub alayhi salatu was salam. Ya'qub, Jacob. He said that if it wasn't for this, the iman that he had, which minimized the calamity or the affliction that had befallen him at the time of the loss of his son Yusuf alayhi salam. If it wasn't for his great iman, at the time of the loss of his son Yusuf, considering the intensity of his love for Yusuf, if it wasn't for that iman, he could never have borne patiently. He would never have been able to continue. That love, it was so intense, as the Shaykh says, it was such that Ya'qub alayhi salam said to the brothers of Yusuf when they requested to take him one day to go with them, to go and rest and relax and play. And he said to them, Inni layahzununi an tadhhabu bihi. Yani it grieves me for you to take him away. To go and play. Their brothers, his brothers wanted to take him. They had a plan. But Ya'qub, he didn't know their plan, but it was his intense love for his son Yusuf that it grieved him just for them to take him away from him for a little while. Even just to take him for a little while, it grieved him. He said, it grieves me that you take him away. This is mentioned in Surah to Yusuf, chapter 12, verse 12. Here, the Shaykh says that Ya'qub, alayhi salam, he informed them that which prevented him from sending Yusuf with them, it was that he could not be patient to be separated from Yusuf even for 1 hour of the day. He couldn't bear it. That's how much he loved him. And that's why they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill Yusuf because the love of their father was so intense for him, it was as though they didn't exist. So they said, let's get rid of him. They wanted to kill him. However, even though he couldn't bear his son to be separated from him, they persuaded him. Yani they gave him certain arguments required him to give them a chance to take their brother with them so that they may go and play with him. So they convinced him. However, the Shaykh says, this was لِيَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا كَانَ مَفْعُولًا. Yani they were able to convince him. It was so that something that Allah has pre-decreed, so it will happen. Because Allah pre-decreed that this should happen. It had to happen. Allah had pre-decreed in the qadr. The qadha of Allah means that it had to take place. Therefore, even though Ya'qub, he was resistant and he wasn't agreeable to the idea of Yusuf separating from him, even for a moment, but they were able to convince him in order that what Allah had pre-decreed would take place. It was only for that reason. Otherwise, Ya'qub alayhi salam, he wasn't willing to let Yusuf go from him even for a moment. So this was the love, the intensity of the love of Ya'qub alayhi salam for his son Yusuf alayhi salam. It was that intense. So whoever this is his condition, the Shaykh says, that his love is this intense to the extent that nobody could even describe the intensity of his love. He said, does anyone imagine? Is it possible? Do you imagine that anybody could have, that Yusuf, that Ya'qub alayhi salam could have been patient at the loss of his son Yusuf for this long time? For such a long time. He was separated from him until Yusuf grew up and became a ruler in the land for years and years and years, and all the time he kept mentioning Yusuf because of his iman and his faith and trust in Allah, that Allah will bring back to him that which he has lost. He said, does anyone imagine that he could have been patient, that he would have remained alive and patient on this calamity for such a long time? Indeed, that which is expected is that his love, this intensity of love, that it would have broken to pieces his liver. It would have caused him to suffer, and it would have caused him to die in a short time. However, due to the strength of his iman, quwwatul iman, the strength of his iman in Allah, and the strength of his hope in Allah, ar-raja billahi, he had hope in Allah, this necessitated, it obligated him to hold on for such a long time until Allah brought about a way, opened the way for him that Allah has promised to the believers. Yani, opened the way to end his suffering and his pain. Likewise, he gives the example, he said, similar, the mother of Musa alayhi salam, Umi Musa. He said, the mother of Musa alayhi salam, she also grieved at the time when he was taken by the river, when he was put in a basket to float in the river, and he was taken by his enemy Fir'aun. He said that her heart became empty from everything. There was nothing in her heart except grief. Grief for her son, Musa alayhi salam. If it wasn't for the fact that Allah had tied her heart together with iman, if Allah didn't keep her heart together with iman, and the fact that she knew that the promise of Allah was true, Allah promised that her son would be protected and that he would be of the mursaleen, of the prophets and messengers. He promised her that. If it were not for that, Allah had given her the strength of iman to keep her heart together, and the fact that she knew that the promise of Allah was true, she would have openly, yani, expressed and shown the severity of the grief that was caused by this musibah of being separated from her son Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. However, it was the iman, al-iman al-muthabbit in the shada'id, the iman that makes a person firm at the time of difficulty and hardship, severe difficulty and hardship. There's iman that makes a person firm, that gives them thabat. Wal-musalli in the masa'ib, there's an iman that comforts a person at the time of affliction, when affliction befalls them. Al-muqawwi idha wahanat al-quwwah. And it is that iman which strengthens the person at the time when their strength becomes weakened. Iman will strengthen them. He said, if it were not for this iman that makes a person patient at the time when there is occasion for sadness and grief and sorrow, but it makes a person patient. If it were not for this iman, then she would not have been able to bear the grief of the loss that she suffered with the separation of her son, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the Shaykh mentions the hadith, which is important for every believer. It is, as he mentions further on, a bushra, a good news for the true believer. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it is a sahih hadith reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi. And Al-Hafiz Ibn Rajab has mentioned, has discussed this hadith and its chains of narration in his famous book, Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikm. And Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, declared the hadith to be sahih and is sunnah by Ibn Abi Asim. In this hadith, it is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given a great advice, wasiyah. It is in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma, as-sahih, in which that is reported in the sunan, he said, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ta'arraf ila Allahi fi ar-rakha'i ya'afka fi ash-shidda. Yani, get acquainted and know Allah, be yani attached to Allah, yani attend to your iman and your relationship with Allah by supplicating and doing the things that Allah has ordered and avoiding that which he have prohibited. Ta'arraf ila Allahi fi ar-rakha'i, yani when things are good, in good times, when things are easy, when you are doing well, don't forget about Allah. That time, get to know Allah. Get acquainted with Allah. Establish your relationship with Allah when you are in a good condition, when you are at ease and comfort, when things are going well for you. Don't wait until calamity befalls you. When you have loss of wealth or property or loved ones, then now you want to turn to Allah. But you didn't know Allah before. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advised us in this hadith with a great advice: ta'arraf ila Allah fil rakhai. Everyone who is doing good, that is the time to get to know Allah, to be acquainted with Allah. Ya'arifka fi shidda. If you do so, then Allah will know you. Allah will attend to you. Allah will respond to you when you're in difficulty and hardship. The Shaykh says the meaning of this hadith, it is, be acquainted with Allah by al-Iman. Wa a'mal al-Iman. By having Iman in your heart and doing the actions or the deeds of Iman. Those actions which are necessary, essential part of Iman that are required if a person has true Iman. Know Allah, get acquainted with Allah by Iman in your heart and the actions of Iman while you are sahihun, ghaniyun, qawiyun. When you are healthy, when you are sahih, when you are healthy, not when you are sick and in need. And when you are ghaniyun, when you are wealthy, when you are without need, when you are doing well. And when you are qawiyun, when you are strong, not when you are weak. But get to know Allah when you are in a good condition, when you are healthy and you are wealthy and you are strong. يَعْرِفْكَ اللَّهُ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. Then Allah will know you when you are in difficulty and hardship. And He will make you strong, strong enough to confront that calamity or that hardship that you may be afflicted with, that befall you. He will help you to solve, to deal with your problem. And then the Shaykh says that the greatest shiddah that will befall the believer, the greatest hardship or difficulty that a believer will experience, it is shiddatul maut wa sakharatihi. The shiddah of maut, death, and the pains of death. Everyone will be subjected to it. It is the greatest thing that a believer will be subjected to. Whatever we are subjected to in this world, it will not be equal to that time of shiddah, the difficulty at the time of death. A Muslim should prepare themselves for that time. It is a reality that no one will escape from. He said it is the greatest shiddah that will befall the believer in this world. Whatever might befall him, it will not be equal to this. So prepare for it by knowing Allah and being acquainted with Allah. By doing those things that are pleasing to Allah and avoiding that which He has prohibited. When you are in good condition, so that Allah will know you and Allah will respond to you and answer you when you are in need of Him. Here the Shaykh says that this hadith is a bushra. It is a good news for every believer that has acquainted himself with his Lord when he was in ease, in good times. This is the bushra for the believer who has acquainted himself, who has attended to his responsibilities to Allah of Iman and Amal al-Salih when he was in good condition. This is the bushra for him, that Allah will help him at the time of difficulty, at the time of distress, disturbing distress and weakening of one's strength, and at the time when the shayateen come together, those shayateen who want to come between the person and his ending his life on goodness. Those shayateen who will come to the person at the time of death to try to convince him to go out of Islam and out of Iman before he died, so that he will die on kufr. This is a reality, that there are shayateen who will come to the believers and try to get them at that last moment. If they couldn't get you before, they will try to get you at that time. And at this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with you and Allah will help you so that your life will be ended on that which is good, on Islam and Iman. For indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will help the person who has been acquainted with Him in times of ease. He will help them and He will make a way out for them and He will give them His mercy. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Al-Hafiz ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he says, the Shaykh has not mentioned this in the essay, but he has made a point concerning this hadith, which is also of benefit. He has mentioned three things, which the person who fulfills these three things, then they will earn the help of Allah, the care of Allah, at the time of death. And at the time of being buried and being questioned in the grave, they will receive Allah's help and His assistance. Al-Hafiz ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he said, فَمَنْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ وَاتَّقَاهُ وَحَفِظَ حُدُودَهُ فِي حَيَاتِهِ. The one who has obeyed Allah, and while he was living in this world, the one who obeys Allah, and who has taqwa of Allah, and who fulfills Allah's commands and avoids His prohibitions, and who guards and preserves the hudud of Allah, the boundaries of Allah. The person who has done this, who obeys Allah and who fears Allah and who guards and preserves and protects and observes the boundaries of Allah in his lifetime, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of him and be responsible for him at the time of his death. And Allah will cause him to die on iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Don't die except as Muslims. Allah will be the one who will help you and who will guarantee you that you will die on iman. And Allah, he said, he will make you firm with al-qawl al-thabit, yani the saying of la ilaha illallah, when you're in the grave at the time of the questioning from the two angels. Allah will make you firm and able to answer those questions. And Allah will push away from you the punishment of the grave. Allah will protect you from the punishment of the grave. And Allah will give you yani comfort at the time of loneliness, when you're in the solitude and the darkness of the grave. Then he said, Al-Hafiz ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, that is for the believer, the one who obeys Allah and who fears Allah and who guards the laws of Allah and the boundaries of Allah. As for the one who didn't know Allah in the good times, in the time of ease, when they were doing well, but he didn't know Allah, he didn't become acquainted with Allah, he didn't care for Allah, that one, he will not have anybody who will help him at the time of shiddah, of difficulty, not in this world, nor in the next life. And the examples of this, and it is seen in the condition of the people who don't obey Allah, who don't believe in Allah in this world. It is seen that those who didn't care for Allah and the rights of Allah and the obligations, fulfilling the obligations of Allah in this world, when in the time of difficulty, they will find that no one will know them. When they are doing good, everyone will be their friend. But when they don't have, all of their friends will leave them. They will not have anyone. In this world, we have seen it. And he said in the next life, it will be even more severe. They will not have anyone. They will not have any helper, waliyun, from Allah, nor will they have any nasir, any helper. They will not have anyone to care for them or anyone to help them. They will be left alone. Allah will leave them and abandon them as they didn't attend to the rights of Allah in this life, then they will not have anyone to attend to them in the next life. The next point that the Shaykh Al-Alama Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir Sa'adi rahimahullah mentions, وَمِن ثَمَرَاتِ الْإِيمَانِ وَلَوَازِمِهِ مِنَ الْعَمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ, that from the fruits of iman, وَلَوَازِمِهِ, yani those things that are lazim for iman, those things which are essential for iman, that iman will not be complete without them, from amongst righteous deeds. The fruits of iman and the righteous deeds which are essential for iman, from amongst the fruits of that iman and those righteous deeds together, iman and righteous deeds, from amongst its fruits is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in his saying in Surah Maryam, Chapter 19, verse 96. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. That verily those who believe, who have iman in their heart, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they do good deeds. The good deeds, the righteous deeds that are the result of iman, that are the branches of iman, that are require an essential part of iman, whoever is have these two characteristics of iman and amal al-salih, سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make in the hearts of the believers love, mahabba. Allah will make the believers love that one who has iman and who does good deeds. Allah will love them and he will cause the believers to love them. The Shaykh says the meaning of this ayat is that as a result of their iman and the actions of iman, yani the actions that are a part of iman, the actions that are also iman. Iman, that is the conviction of the heart, and the actions that are also iman as a result of that. بِسَبَبِ إِمَانِهِمْ وَأَعْمَالِ الْإِيمَانِ يُحِبُّهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ الْمَحَبَّةِ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. As a result of this, Allah will love them. And as a result of their iman and good deeds, Allah will love them. And Allah will also make a love, he will cause a love to be in the hearts of the believers for them. Allah will cause the believers to love them. The Shaykh says of the benefits, that those benefits that will be achieved by those whom Allah loves and whom the believers love, he said that whoever Allah loves him and the believers from amongst his servants love that one, then they will receive as sa'ada, happiness, true happiness. يعني in this world as well as in the next. والفلاح success in this world as well as in the next. And الفوائد الكثيرة من محبة المؤمنين. And also many benefits that they will get from the محبة of the مؤمنين. يعني benefits that they will get, يعني the سعادة and فلاح, it is from Allah. And they will also get benefits that will be from the love of Allah. Because of Allah's love for them, they will have سعادة, happiness. And they will have فلاح, success. And because of the love that Allah puts in the heart of the believers, also they will get benefits. He said they will get many benefits from the love of the believers, and from amongst those benefits is الثنائي. Yani that they will be praised by the believers. وَالدُّعَاءُ لَهُ, and the believers will supplicate for them, living and dead. Yani when they are alive and when they are dead, the believers will supplicate for them. وَالْإِقْتِدَاءِ بِهِ, and they will also follow them. They will take them as a model. Those who have iman and amal as-salih, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put love in the hearts of the believers to follow them, to follow their example, to take them as a model. Because the model is those who believe and who do good deeds. So Allah will make them as models, examples. And they will also achieve al-imama fi al-deen. They will achieve al-imama fi al-deen. Means that they will achieve the rank or status of being a leader in the deen. Yani they will be imam and deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that people will come behind, people will follow behind, people will take their path and take them as a model or an example. The Shaykh says, rahimahullah, that this is also of the greatest and the most lofty of the fruits of iman, of thamarat al-iman. It is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will make for the believers, those who have perfected their iman, those who have perfected their iman, bil-ilm wal-amal, those who have perfected their iman by both knowledge and action. Yani iman is perfected by knowledge, because how can you act right without knowledge? And then it is perfected by amal, because what is the benefit of the claim of iman if it is not supported by actions, by deeds, by worship of Allah? So he said, those believers who have perfected their iman, takmeel al-iman, it is the perfection and the completion of iman, it is by ilm and amal, by knowledge and deeds. He said, of the things that he would give to these believers who have perfected their iman, is lisan sidq. Yani that they will get a, yani they will be praised with an honorable praise or an honorable mention. Yani the people will speak well of them. And more importantly than that, that he will make them a'imma, imams, yahtaduna bi amrihi. He will make them imams that will guide, that will be guided and will guide others by the command of Allah, in accordance with the command of Allah. He will make them a'imma, imams. And this is a great fruit, yani, of the thamaratul iman, of the greatest of the fruits of iman, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a person an imam that is rightly guided and that guides others by the command of Allah. And this is, the proof of this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Sajdah, chapter 32, verse 24, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. That we have made from amongst them. Yani he was talk, this ayat is revealed in reference to Bani Israel, the children of Israel. He said, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ, we have made from people of Bani Israel, أَئِمَّةً, imams, yani leaders in the deen, يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا, who are guided and who give guidance to others by our command. He has made from amongst them those who have iman and amal as-salih. He has made some of them imams, a'imma. And they are rightly guided by the command of Allah and they guide others. Allah has given them this favor. This is from the fruits of iman, that He makes the people as leaders or models for others to follow. They are guides for the people. And they have reached the status of imam, imama. They have reached it how, he said, لَمَّا صَبَرُوا, when they were patient, وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ, when they had sabr and they had yaqeen, and they were having certainty about our ayat, the ayats of Allah. Yani they were made imams due to these two things, due to as-sabr, yani when they were patient, and when they had certainty about the ayat of Allah. The Shaykh says, so it is through as-sabr and yaqeen, these two things, as-sabr, patience, and yaqeen, certainty, these two things which are the head of iman and the perfection of iman, they are the highest point of iman, the apex of iman and the perfection of iman. As-sabr wal-yaqeen. As-sabr wal-yaqeen. The person who has achieved this, sabr wal-yaqeen, that means they have reached the height of iman and the perfection of iman. It is due to these two things that a person achieves al-imamah. في الدين يعني leadership in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tafsir of this ayat, and before that, a hadith which the Shaykh has mentioned in his tafsir. He has not mentioned here in the essay, but a hadith which the Shaykh has mentioned in his tafsir of the previous ayat from Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verse 96. He said it is a sahih hadith. He said that verily Allah, when He loves a servant, He calls out to Jibreel and He says, verily I love so and so, so love him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Jibreel, verily I love so and so. By the name, Allah calls them out by their name when He loves somebody. He says, I love so and so. فَأَحِبَّهُ فَيُحِبُّهُ Jibreel. Then Jibreel loves him. ثُمَّ يُنَادِي فِي أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ. Then Jibreel calls out to the people of the Sama, the angels, the people who live in the heavens. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحِبُّهُ. That indeed Allah loves so-and-so, so love him. He calls out to the angels that Allah loves so-and-so, so you should love him. فَيُحِبُّهُ أَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ. Then the angels, the people of the heavens, they also love him. ثُمَّ يُدَعُوا لَهُ الْكُبُولِ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Then, acceptance and love for that person is placed in the hearts of the people in the earth.